It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you. This is Caffeinated Comics. I am your host, John Clark. With me, as always, is my co-host,
Steven Rapp.
And with us is The Smoove and our resident bat expert, who's not me. Because I do know a lot about Batman.
Your boy.
Dave Gonzalez.
What's up,
is
guys?
Here.
He's back. Dave's back.
And we're talking about Batman again.
That's the only reason we have Dave on the show.
We are back. Because that's all he cares about.
That's all he wants to talk about.
Let's put it this way. Are we going to have Dave on when we're talking about Thor?
Who's Thor?
See?
Yeah. That ain't Batman.
Guy? Is that a blonde guy with a hammer?
Is he coming over
to do some work in my house?
But now, the first time we had Dave on for the Batman podcast, we talked about how there's different types of Batmans and Batman's in transition at this point, we're phasing out one, we're bringing in another. What we're looking at now, that's moved ahead a little bit, where for the one thing, Grant Morrison has finished this week. He's finished his run.
His final issue came out this week.
But even bigger is the Adam West show. Is in as much full force as it was since the 60s. We don't have DVDs and we don't have Blu-rays. It's not streaming on Netflix. Yet there is a flood of merchandise. The bags they gave out at San Diego had Adam West on them.
Oh, really?
And in Dave's hand right now are the first Mattel figures of Adam West, Burt Ward, and the Batcave. And DC's doing a new ongoing comic series, which sold really well.
Based off the show,
it was good.
Yeah, it was a great book, and the app was fantastic.
Yeah, it's something must have happened like behind the scenes, like merchandising wise, because there wasn't any of this material.
They cleared up some of the rights, but
something must have happened.
But my question is there's so many types of Batman. There have been, to my count, there have been 8 Batman movies. There have been 6 animated series over the course of Batman. There were 2 seasons of serials, and this one TV show. What is it about this show that gives it such longevity?
The Adam West show in particular?
Yeah, it feels like the Adam West show and the Bruce Timm animated series are the two types of Batman we always go back to. I think Adam West is probably more popular than the
Probably because it's been around longer.
But I mean, the Tim Burton movie has been around 25 years now, and you don't see the same enthusiasm for it. People still love it. I still love that movie.
Yeah.
But there's something about that 60s show,
yeah,
which has just transcended time and its place in history.
It's cultish.
Yeah,
actually,
it is cultish.
If you find out the people who, not the people who are into Batman, but the people who are into that show particularly,
mm-hmm.
there's whole websites with like forums and all kinds of stuff. Like one of the guys from the old shop I used to work at actually has, he's got like a lot of like authentic costumes from the show. They're not the actual costumes,
they're replicas
of like the belt, the cowl, all this stuff. And he at the time he was a doctor. I think he's in like law school now. I think he's gonna transition into like a lawyer job. He bought a Robin vest that's like the, you know, that he wears in the show, and it's cut from the same roll of material that the original vest was cut from.
What did he pay for that?
Well, he's told us everything else he's paid for, like all this other stuff. He refused to tell us the amount because he said it was so absurdly high, he didn't want to discuss it, which is totally fine.
But just the fact that roll of fabric has existed for 45 years.
Wow.
It's got to push the price up, number one.
That's bug, dude.
So I think, I mean, but like I said, he was showing us all these different websites and forums where people were discussing like what kind of dyes to use on material to get the right blue for Batman's cowl and stuff. Like they're so specific, and there's so much information out there that you're completely unaware of. You know, it's just I've never, and I'm sure there's other pockets of that on the internet that, you know, you just don't know of because you don't care about that subject or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so deep with this particular show. It's ridiculous. I was like, no one really talks about the measurements of the bat belt and what color to use and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, there's people who like know exactly the measurements, and they make this, and this is their job. Like, that they just sell replica materials from this like show, and you can get batarangs. He's got one. He's got like a batarang that's an exact replica from the show. You know he's got the bomb that he like runs around with, the bomb, like a replica of that bomb.
You know where he lives? What's his address?
In the back.
I don't know what his address. I know how to drive after. There.
It's he lives under Wayne Manor. I think we'd be pretty clear.
But it is something where it's cultish. I mean, there's definitely.
Yeah, it's good, dude.
But what is it? Because you know the only thing I always equated in my mind to the original Star Trek, because they both premiered the same year,
and they're on the same level of budget.
In 1966. Same level of budget, yeah. I think Batman was a bigger hit, so
yeah.
As you follow Star Trek, their budget starts getting cut, so it becomes a much cheaper show than Batman.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the reason Batman got canceled, was in its third season, the ratings weren't quite as high, so they cut it down to one episode a week instead of the cliffhanger. And one of my favorite stories, when they canceled it, it was on, I think it was on NBC, and ABC tried to pick it up, and they couldn't afford to rebuild the sets.
Yeah, the sets were broken, the Batcave specifically.
Yeah, they tore down the nuclear reactor in the Batcave, and they could not afford to rebuild it.
Wow.
And that was the end of that show. But when I look at the Adam West Batman compared to Star Trek fans, there's a feeling with Star Trek, which is like, people who like the original Star Trek series are kind of like the same guys that like Jack Kirby, where it's like, I love the Jack Kirby Fantastic Four. I love the Fantastic Four. This is where it started with Jack Kirby, and it's this style.
Yeah.
And then you follow it to John Byrne, and it's this style, and I love it for different reasons. And Star Trek fans, a lot of them will do that. They'll go, well, I love The Next Generation as much for different reasons.
Right. It's a good show, but it's a different flavor.
But it's a different show because you're going from 60s to 80s.
Yeah.
With Batman, I mean, we can all agree Batman is the most popular superhero ever created.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think everyone in this room loves Batman.
I love Batman.
You know, and Steven's not even a DC fan.
Yeah, but you can't deny, like you said, he's not my favorite superhero, but it's like he's everyone else's favorite superhero, though. He's arguably, that's why we get a movie every 3 years. It's like there's no getting away from it.
It's a top-selling book at the shop.
Yeah, absolutely. It's our highest-selling monthly book on the shelf.
But Dave, what do you think it is about just this show that keeps it alive in a way that even the original Star Trek isn't?
You know what the crazy part is? You got to think about like the time, too. Like, there was no internet, right? So they weren't doing like research in the same way that we do research now. There was no like comic cons where you could test a bunch of things out on people and like go over there.
I don't even think San Diego existed.
Yeah,
at that point, San Diego is the oldest comic convention.
But when I was a kid, like, you know, it was all underground, like basement, you know, deals and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Even then, it wasn't as developed as it was. Like, Warner Brothers didn't know to go there and test stuff out. So this was like the first Simpsons, you know what I mean? Like, it had things for kids, it had things for adults, it had things for everybody in there, and it did get you glued to the seat.
And it worked.
Yeah, and it worked. Like, at a certain point, Star Trek had its target audience that it was going for, and I remember a lot, like, Bewitched and all those other shows beforehand, like, just a little before, where, like, they were targeting towards certain people, and this one was like, we're gonna try and catch everybody, and it did, and it was bright. And it's beautiful. Like, it was really, like, I remember the first time seeing that, as bright as it was. It was like, this is speaking to me, Mom. This show is my show, you know? And then they got the little boy in me growing up in my puberty stages and showed me what, like, Catwoman was supposed to look like.
Mm.
And
the day you realize how hot Julie Newmar actually was.
You realize how hot that woman was.
Because, like, when you're a kid, you're like, why is Batman's cool, man? Why is he getting all flustered?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh man, it played to that. It made me.
And Batgirl, I didn't realize how hot Yvonne Craig was until the surfing episode, where she's mostly Barbara Gordon in like
against the Joker surfing.
But
against
she's
the
Barbara Gordon, yeah, that one. But she's Barbara Gordon in a bathing suit the whole time. She's not even Batgirl.
I've never seen that episode.
What? I remember in high school.
Steven, get you some.
Get you some, baby.
We're gonna watch this after the podcast.
Oh my god!
But I remember in that episode, I was embarrassed because I was watching it. In high school, I was in high school when the Tim Burton movie came out, and that was a great reason for every local station to start rerunning the Adam West show.
Yeah.
And I'm watching that one, and all of a sudden I see Yvonne Craig pop out in a bathing suit, and I'm 17.
Yeah.
And I go, what the? And my dad walked in, and there was no way to cover what I was saying that about, because it wasn't like Batman was punching somebody.
Right, it wasn't something like, outrageous happened in the show.
You're like, Dad, my bad.
We let that moment sit.
I just had a moment right here. No, but like, think about it, dude. Like, so just that show itself, if you're a kid, you're watching Batman beat up the Joker on water. If you're an adult or that teen, you're watching Batgirl in a bikini. You know what I mean? Like, you weren't losing watching that show.
Right. And something for everyone.
Something for everyone.
That is, that is a great moment. And I agree, you don't get that. You don't get that with the Bruce Timm Batman animated series, because Ben and I watch it every now and then. Now he's six. When he was four, no way.
No.
His favorite show is still Brave and the Bold, but we'll watch the animated series. Like, he's playing with the Riddler in the Batcave the other day.
Holla.
So I was like, let's put on If You're So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich? Yeah. You know, let's watch that first Riddler episode while we play.
That's good.
And he was totally into it. But I could still see with him, it's like, that I could see his mind going, this is a little old for me. It's a little serious. It's a little dark.
Yeah.
And that show does what it does perfectly. But you made a good point, Dave. The Batman Adam West show is doing two different things, and is doing them both perfectly.
Yeah. Like, go back to, like, just how they played off of each other, Batman and Robin. Like, some of the jokes that you got as a kid, you're like, ha-ha, funny. Like, Batman just ran out with a little belly and, like, is going to go to the Batcave.
Yeah.
But then you hear, like, that holy whatever blank fill in the blank, and it's, like, an extremely adult context, like, joke at that exact point where you're like,
you don't get as a kid.
Yeah, that's a double entendre if I ever seen one, you know what I mean? Like, and it's really good. And this is and what makes it special is that this is pre-research. You know what I mean? Like, pre-research. Like,
well, when they researched the show, first of all, they didn't care which superhero they were going to use.
Yeah.
When they did the original pitch, they said, we're going to make a comic book. They wanted Superman, but the rights were still tied up with the George Reeves show in the 50s.
Yeah.
So they moved down the list, because back then Superman was still the most popular. It's 1966. Marvel is not well known enough for them to look for Spider-Man. Yeah.
And not only that, too, and I remember seeing, it was like an interview or a special about the show or something, they were saying that the sales on Batman comics at the time were actually so anemic, they were going to cancel it.
Yeah.
Like, Batman wasn't the Batman we've got right now. This was way before Frank Miller and all these other guys who did the reinvent of Batman. Batman was... he was all over the place. First, he was this vigilante character. Then he's the scientist. Then he's the detective. And then he's, you know, it wasn't until really Adam West got a hold of it that kind of changed everything. And, you know, I heard
and
a lot of people...
And it's also right after DC does their Silver Age. I mean, it's only a couple of years into the Silver Age.
This is after, the redesign of Flash and Green Lantern and everything science fiction based.
Creating the Justice League of America. This is like, this is DC really trying to make superheroes work. And Superman and Batman were the only superheroes not canceled.
Yeah.
Which is why Batman's always been Bruce Wayne instead of Green Lantern, who was Alan Scott, then Hal Jordan, and Guy Gardner and John Stewart introduced in the Silver Age. But you're right. And it was the reason that Batman was well known enough that they could make a show out of him.
Yeah.
But wasn't so well known that his rights were tied up somewhere else.
And it just seems like it really happens not every decade, but it's like every other decade, it seems that like Batman really comes out and just like blows everyone's expectations. Like this show comes out and like the merchandising for this show at the time was ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, then 20 years
passed. It was the first wave of Batmania.
Yeah. And then, you know, 20 years later, we have another wave with Frank Miller and Tim Burton's Batman.
Yep.
And then another decade passes. And then, you know, Dark Knight's the most popular movie on the planet. You know, it's the highest grossing movie of all time.
But I would disagree with you there. I don't even think that it doesn't go away. It's just...
It doesn't go, but...
It hits a peak.
Yeah, huge waves.
But I would say since... This is a great point. Since the Adam West show, Batman has been high on everybody's radar.
Yeah.
There rarely has it gone out of syndication. I mean, it's up there... Again, with Star Trek.
Right.
Or with I Love Lucy. It's just always reruns.
Some network is showing it. Yeah.
Yeah, because when I was a kid, I watched it in the 70s. I wasn't young enough to see it when it was originally on. And I would see Batman in two places. I would see the Adam West reruns, and I would see the Super Friends.
Yeah.
And they were both kind of
the same version of Batman. Yeah.
Except the Super Friends didn't really have anything adult. Now, you know, with a hipster's eyes... You can watch the Super Friends and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But they weren't trying to be funny in
a
way.
No,
Adam West was trying.
This was meant to be funny for everyone who's watching it in different ways. And it made fun of its time. It made fun of it themselves.
Yeah.
Which I thought was new. You know, like they broke the wall. You know, they were able to like joke around about their sexual relationships. Later on, I remember them making jokes about like how much like girls they were getting in there. And they were like, you know, we got to calm down, Robin, like calm down. And that happened. I was like, this is hilarious, dude. Like they're breaking it down. And I didn't catch until I was older. So what? I'm watching it once as a kid, once as a guy that just found out the Batgirl is hot.
Yeah. And then again,
then watching it as an adult, like, and finding the jokes that I missed the third time.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, we've talked about it before, and that's something where like, as a kid, I didn't realize that it was supposed to be like a joke show or a comedy show or whatever. I just thought this was like, I really thought like he's going to get eaten by this plant monster and that's the end of Batman. Like, I really took it seriously.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I got older that I was like, oh, this is a show making fun of itself, you know, and I realized like the pow and the bamf and the whiff and all that stuff. And then you see all the jokes, you know, between Batman and Batgirl and everything. It's like, that's not something as a kid I was picking up on. I wanted bright colors. I wanted villains and I wanted fights, you know?
It's funny too, because the bright colors everybody goes back to.
Right, dude.
Yeah, but a lot of that is because color televisions just came out.
I was going to say, they just...
Everything's that bright. Watch The Monkees. The Monkees is also the same year, 1966.
Yeah.
That's... Everything was super bright colors because that would help sell a color television set.
Did it have Batman?
Then
it wasn't as fun. Like, that thing was, like, the vamps and everything, man, come on. As a kid, I thought that was a documentary. I was like, man, what is Batman going to do to get out of this right now?
I fully believe, and, you know, I love the arc you go through with Batman, is that when you're a kid, as I said, you take everything seriously.
Yeah.
Then you get to, like, high school, and you go, this is the stupidest show ever, because you start to get that second layer of jokes, like you're saying, and that's when, but that's when you go through this whole phase of like, Adam West was a terrible actor and these shows are poorly written and that looks cheap and why wouldn't Cesar Romero shave his mustache?
Right.
And then you get older than that, you get like out of your like brooding ironic phase.
Yeah.
Unless you're a hipster, in which case you grow a giant mustache and wear a small fedora.
Right.
And you live there. But then when you get older, you look at it, I'm realizing now watching it and Adam West is great. He's
doing something very specific.
He's hamming it up. Yeah, he's hamming that up.
You know, you start to learn how a television show is put together, and it's like, this is no accident.
Right.
You know, but like, when the Mad Hatter sprays Batman's mask pink to make it radioactive, and you're 17, you go, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. When you're in your 30s, you go, that's absolutely deliberate. They made it look like the stupidest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And Adam West walks that line.
Tongue-in-cheek, dude.
He walks a line William Shatner doesn't recognize.
No, not at all.
Shatner just steps over that line.
He just wanted to
go for it.
Yeah,
at least Adam West knows it's there.
Shatner was unironic. Adam West was ironic about it.
And it's just funny because it's like, you know, he's supposed to be Batman and it's like, he's supposed to be this great fighter, and it's like, he's just like a dumpy, you know, guy with his belts up too high.
Adam West has never seen the gym. Look at the toy.
He's got these grandma pants on, you know what I mean? It's like
that utility belt goes all the way up to his rib cage.
Yeah. And it's just like, he looks ridiculous. And it's something we were saying about the comic.
And that's the thing, is when you realize there had to have been meetings where he wore that costume and walked out and people had to have said, you look ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's not, it could
There are eyebrows on his cowl.
He's like, thank you very much.
Because that's how Dick Sprang drew him.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was before?
Dick Sprang's like 50s.
No,
Batman,
but the eyebrows just showed up in the comics first?
Yeah.
On the cowl?
Yeah, they're in there.
Yeah.
But you know what? You take them for granted because he's got white eyes.
Yeah.
And he's got the eyebrows.
That's okay.
You don't think of it being painted on his mask. You just think of it being a cartoony expression.
I mean, and some of the best work that we have in comic books comes as a direct response to this campy Batman. Like, you know, when the 70s came and it was all dark. Like, we went there.
It was
a reaction to it. Yeah. And we got some of the best detective stories we ever got because they were like, this isn't just Batman.
Yeah, that Neil Adams run. Well, also, when you were saying about it being close to cancellation before the show, it was close to cancellation after.
Yeah.
Because the problem with the Adam West show was that it was a huge hit when it came on. Everybody loved it. But by the second season, they got kind of tired of it. Yeah. And this happens with every show that hits really hard when it first comes out.
Yeah.
With The Simpsons. Everybody was super into Bart. They got tired of Bart. The Simpsons made the decision to shift over to Homer. Now we're in the 25th season of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
South Park, everybody got it to Cartman. Cartman got boring.
Yeah.
Because we knew what to expect from him. And then they got topical. South Park's in its like 15th season.
Yeah.
You know, Batman, they couldn't do it. They introduced Batgirl, but people were kind of tired of it. And its sales on the comic also suffered.
Yeah.
And they were back to cancellation levels, which is how Denny O'Neil and Neil Adams were able to come in and go, well, we'll flip it around and do the opposite.
Yeah.
And we'll do kind of the stories that Bob Kane started with.
Yeah.
And then that gave Batman yet another lease on life that Tim Burton did. And the Adam West Show, everybody calls it 66 now. I like to call it the Adam West Show.
Adam West.
I think they call it 66 because they don't want to pay Adam West.
Probably.
Every time they say it. But I remember the reaction. Dave, tell me if you remember this. When the summer in '89.
Okay.
When the Tim Burton movie came out.
When we were shaving bat signals in the back of our heads.
Yeah, you were.
I remember that.
I was white. I remember that. So I couldn't.
So you didn't do that.
But did you have friends that came up to you and said, why isn't this so dark? Where's Robin? What's going on with this?
Yeah, you know, there was so much hype on like the darkness of it that people got confused about what this was. You know, like they didn't know what to do. And Tim Burton, like, you know, if you followed movies, and I didn't do that. Like, I was just like, there's a Batman movie. I didn't know it was a Tim Burton movie. You know, like, there's a Batman movie. And I remember waiting in line from 8 p.m. to like midnight to see it with my sister and like doing that whole thing. And it showed up, and people were confused. Like, my mom thought she was going to get the Adam West movie, you know?
Yeah, when they casted Michael Keaton, everyone freaked out and thought it was going to be a comedy.
Yeah.
And yeah, and the comic fan, the people were reading the comics at the time.
Yeah, he was
pretty
a comedic
mad.
Actor.
Yeah, but Tim Burton really liked him from Beetlejuice.
And and he was great in Beetlejuice. Like, yep. You know what I mean? Like, to this day, like, he only had 15 minutes of showtime in Beetlejuice. Yeah. That's all he had.
But then he also
He stole it.
He also, really smartly for his career, he made a serious drama in between Beetlejuice and Batman.
Which one was that?
It's called Clean and Sober.
Yeah, Clean and Sober.
Where
he
plays an addict.
That was dope, dude.
A recovering addict. He's great in it.
That was dope.
And it's great, but that was also him saying to Hollywood,
I can do more than.
Yeah, I'm not just a comedian. I'm not going
to
be.
And they were supposed to do a Beetlejuice 2, but he didn't
They're
want
still
to do
talking
part
about
it.
It.
Yeah.
They're still
I mean, if he wanted to do it now, he's brilliant. Like, that dude is. I mean, he's Batman, and he never has to make a comment about being Batman.
We just talked about this on a podcast, you know? On the Wolverine podcast with Dave Redfield last week, saying, you know, Batman Beyond keeps coming up as a movie.
And not going to happen.
People saying, but I would love to see Michael Keaton as the old Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, that's what I want to see. He's like 60.
That would make me want to see. Yeah, he's in his 60. He was in 30 Rock, like towards the end. Like,
make him older, good. You know, give him like, you know, older makeup or whatever. Benjamin Button that shit up and then fucking have him
good,
be like
dude.
A little crazy.
Yeah, because people were saying like, oh, they want Christian Bale to wear makeup. I was like,
no.
F that, man.
Michael Keaton.
Bring on Michael Keaton. He's already older.
He's in RoboCop. He's in the new RoboCop.
Michael Keaton.
Is he?
Yeah.
But the new RoboCop looks terrible.
I don't care.
I'll
Michael
go
Keaton's
see if Michael
in
Keaton.
It. Michael Keaton's in it. I will watch anything. The other guys with Michael Keaton in it. He was funny as balls.
Yes, he was good in that.
Like, come on, man. But, you know, so there was a lot of confusion because there was so much hype. That and they only gave us like snippets. There was no internet again.
That was the first real teaser trailer I ever saw where it was just like, bip, 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 bip. It was like quick shots of Jack Nicholson, quick shots of Michael Keaton.
And I want to go on tape and say, I don't think Jack Nicholson was that good in it. I just think he surprised a lot of people at the right time. Because we weren't expecting the Joker to be that animated in that kind of a dark movie.
Yeah.
And he brought it in a whole different other light. And, you know, the complexities that Tim Burton did with his flair was like, it even made it better. Like, it wasn't anything special. It wasn't a great story per se. But, like, it really popped off at the right time, at the right moment.
Yeah.
And then Batman Returns just jumped right on top of that. Like, what was it, 2 years, 3 years after that?
Yeah, Batman Returns didn't do that well, though.
It didn't.
I happen to love Jack Nicholson in that role, but I do agree with you. Nicholson's mostly playing a heightened Nicholson persona.
Yeah.
Which I'm down with because I'm a huge Nicholson fan to begin with. Like, yeah. I've loved everything from Easy Rider up.
Yeah.
He was, like, I was ecstatic when he was cast. I was like, I can't believe this is happening. And I had just read The Killing Joke for the first time.
Oh, gotcha.
When I heard Nicholson was, and I was like, this is going to be serious. But I will say, I will agree with you that I think people went crazy about it. Because they weren't expecting that persona of the Joker, which had come through not only Killing Joke and Dark Knight Returns, but Marshall Rogers and Neil Adams.
Yeah.
They weren't thinking that he was going to be homicidal.
I think people were really thinking they were going to get more like Cesar Romero, because that's what the public knew.
Robbing banks with giant chattering teeth.
Which is awesome.
But you know what? And you have to admit, if there was no Jack Nicholson, there would be no Heath Ledger. Because you cannot make the leap from Cesar Romero to Heath Ledger. You need Nicholson.
You do, and I think it's an evolutionary thing.
Heath Ledger himself said before he died, when they said on the set, you're blowing away Jack Nicholson. He said, no, I would not have been able to play the Joker in Tim Burton's Batman.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm doing this in this movie. This would not work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they,
yeah,
and, you know,
doesn't exist.
Yeah, you could not have Heath Ledger.
The rules don't exist by then. Heath needed some really monumental comic book runs, like, first off. Like,
yeah.
The Killing Joke was one of them. I would say No Man's Land for sure. Like, yeah. Even though, yeah, that movie had nothing to do with it, like, the twistedness of that.
And No Man's Land, Joker doesn't come in until the very end, but what he does when he shows up.
Yeah, and tweets. I think that's, you know, it's... You can't get one without the other, and it's also reactionary, too, because no one wanted to see, you know, just a rehash of Jack Nicholson's performance. Yep. And, like, if he nails it that hard and is that iconic about it, Heath Ledger's got to do something that's going to be totally different, you know, because it is. It's a very, like, it's more like punk. It's, like, a very different-looking Joker. It's a very different type of character. It's really got to be way off the rails from what Nicholson was doing.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. But that's the thing is that that 66 show still looms so large.
It's big.
That even though comic fans had 25 years to get used to a darker Batman, that movie audiences were not ready for it. I mean, they loved it. And but then Batman Returns goes a little darker.
Yep.
And they pull back.
Yeah, yeah. They fired Tim Burton.
They fired.
Yeah.
I mean, that movie did well. It didn't do as well as the first Batman. We've talked about that many times. It's
too much too much alternative reality, like Tim Burton world.
Tim Burton did.
Yeah,
the story goes off the rails. It's like it doesn't stay on the tracks well enough. I like it a lot.
But you're a big Tim Burton fan, though.
I'm a big Tim Burton fan. We've talked about this on like four podcasts. The Tim Burton to Batman Returns debate goes on. I love the performances in it, though. I think Michelle Pfeiffer and Danny DeVito are great, and Michael Keane's a little better.
Chris Walken, I think.
Christopher Walken, yeah. Christopher Walken, who has no business being in that movie for more than 10 minutes, who's just walking around.
I disagree. Yeah, right. I think he needed a bigger role.
I think he needed a bigger role.
He walked around.
He needed more cowbell.
I wanted him as the Riddler or something. You know,
I would have loved to have seen him in a suit.
Yeah,
that would have been. But you know, like, what are you doing when you put Batman in a movie? You already know you're about to get 30% of your audience, like for a fact, like straight on.
Yeah, no matter what you do a Batman, you could do any version of a Batman movie, and you are gonna knock it out.
Like,
of the park.
We're gonna put nipples on his bat
and
suit.
People still
like
go to see it.
Still.
Yeah, we're gonna make Arnold Schwarzenegger Mr. Freeze.
30%,
and that's
no matter what.
What's really interesting about that movie too. And this isn't something I realized until like 2 years ago or something. Was that like they were doing the 60s. Show. They were doing that 66 show updated with a budget. That's what they were trying to do.
I think that's where they started, but they ended up going so much worse.
I think
the 66 show is a little smart. The 66 show is smarter than you will give it credit for.
No,
until you really start to watch it with a more sophisticated.
But I think
eye.
Is that they Whole, were doing the
Batman 60, Robin's not smart.
They were doing the 66 show, and they were taking themselves seriously. They were doing the 66 show, but they shouldn't have.
They shouldn't have done
But they were doing like bat credit cards, ice skates on the bat boots. Yeah. They were doing like all the gear.
Bane's Frankenstein.
Mr. Freeze looked ridiculous. They're all making bad jokes. There's a goofy fight scenes.
Made
it's
sense.
Like
bad ice skates.
Yeah. If that had been like a comedy, that would have been great. But they're taking themselves
seriously.
But
it wasn't even funny.
Well, that's what, they needed better comedic writers.
I remember that. That's another summer that I remember because everything got out of its way in 97. Mm. They were like, a Batman movie's coming. Don't put out anything around it. Don't be big. And it bombed. It bombed and it stunk so horribly.
It was bad.
That it completely leveled the playing field so that by that July, here comes Men in Black. And then it was
that the same year?
That's the same year.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Men in Black's like the middle of that
Think
summer.
Of how cool.
And then it's just like, wow, this movie's great. It was just on TV last night, and it's like, Men in Black and Hellboy are like two of my favorite movies ever made that I forget how much I love them until they're on.
Yeah.
But think of how good and how cool Will Smith is in that movie. And the same year we got George Clooney as Batman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was like the worst thing ever.
The director does a lot.
That was my boy. Yeah, man, I'm telling you. So if you're going to make a movie with somebody, might as well just start it with... I mean, and that's why we keep going back to Batman. Like, you know, DC's smart. You got 30% or more already plugged
it's
in.
It's the easiest movie for them to make.
But that's also holding Warner Brothers back because they think everything else they're going to put out is going to make Batman money. And when it doesn't, they kill it immediately. No. Which is why all we're seeing is Batman and Superman. We're not seeing a Justice League movie. We're going to see a Superman sequel with fucking Batman.
They don't even want to take a risk of doing... Yeah, they don't even want to take a risk to do a follow-up to Superman because it did really well.
But didn't do as well as they hoped.
And all the negative reviews afterwards about the destruction.
So are you guys trying to say that Batman is being introduced to save the Superman Absolutely. Franchise?
I think
I really believe, I talked about this the last podcast, I really believe that they're trying to turn Man of Steel into the DC Universe franchise.
Okay, yeah. So
because there's rumors that the Flash might pop up in it, but that might have just been rumors, because now there's rumors that the Flash is getting a spinoff TV show out of Arrow.
Yeah, I think they changed it. I think instead
and they greenlit Wonder Woman for sure. Like, something's gonna happen with Wonder Woman. Fast.
Yeah, but you know what? They had one failure with Green Lantern. They don't want to touch another DC hero.
Green Lantern's
but small. Yet they spend every day jealous of the money that Disney's making with Marvel, but right. they don't want to take the risks that Marvel is taking.
And that's what's ridiculous.
But they want the rewards that Marvel is getting.
No one knew who Iron Man was, and now it's their nobody third wanted biggest to, franchise.
Yeah, and nobody wanted to give Robert Downey Jr. his own movie.
I was saying,
yeah. When they made Iron Man 1, they thought he was a risky drug addict.
Yeah, that's a high risk, high reward situation.
It is.
All of them. Thor was a great movie, and I just joked about it before, but Thor was a great movie, and you know why? Because that dude, Chris Hemsworth, cost nothing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, so did Chris Evans in Captain America.
Chris Evans.
But, and also the right director, because you get Kenneth Branagh, who is kind of washed up in Hollywood, but is known for being a big Shakespeare guy.
Yeah.
So you know what? You get the superhero that says thee and thou all the time and wears ropes.
Yeah, and then you make fun of it in Avengers, and it's a hit. You know,
yep.
Doth mother know? You know, like yeah, that
yeah
whole
doth
point,
mother know you wear her? You know, wear her drapes.
You go with that, and you build these relationships to like.
And Captain America, you get the director who did The Rocketeer, which bombed, but was a perfect 40s period superhero.
Yeah. The Rocketeer bombed.
It did not make
that
money.
Movie.
It was good.
I own that on DVD.
It did not make money.
I keep hearing rumors of a sequel to The Rocketeer.
So check this out.
Everything.
So basically, Marvel got a $1 billion movie off the ground for pennies. Pennies. You can't.
They put out four cheap movies that all made really good money.
And then rolled it into a smash
rolled
hit.
It into into the biggest movie ever made. DC won't do that. So the mistake DC makes is, okay, we'll make a Green Lantern movie, then maybe we'll make an Aquaman and a Flash and Wonder Woman when we build it up. Here's a Green Lantern movie. It costs $200 million.
Well, from what I hear, Green Lantern still exists. Like in
I've heard they want to just do a sequel.
Yeah,
and
he
move
exists
that forward.
I've heard a lot of rumors about it. I've heard that Ryan Reynolds will play Green Lantern in Justice League, and that's where Green Lantern will come back.
Idris Elba.
But now,
oh my God, Idris Elba is Jon Stewart.
Everybody wants
high
Idris
fives.
Elba.
My
high fives on podcast.
That
high fives
is what right. I want.
I like Idris Elba, but people want him to be everything.
And I'm okay
they
with that.
They want to be James
that.
Bond.
I'm okay with
they
that.
Want to be Doctor
that's
Who.
Fine.
You want to be Green Lantern.
Yep.
Do that as well. I love all those ideas you just said. Put those on there. Put some sugar on
there. Idris Elba is everything.
Oh, yes. My God. Oh, my God.
The
first
shark
off,
in Jaws.
The shark
in Jaws. I will cast him as the shark in Jaws.
Guys, the best show in the world was
you
The Wire.
Cast him as Sandra Bullock in an ex-romantic comedy.
That's right.
Absolutely.
I want Reese Witherspoon to just make out
Idris
with
Idris Elba. Idris Elba.
You know what would be awesome?
And you
recast
know,
him in Alec Baldwin's role in
and
30
you know,
Rock.
He's actually,
and just do the whole series again, all
and
seven
And I love
years.
Alec Baldwin.
He came
so
in
say?
And saved The Office. For a second, too. Let's not forget that.
He was in The Office.
He was
yeah.
in The
he was
Office.
Great in that.
Idris Elba was in The Office. And the best part about it is Idris is also more famous for being a DJ than he is an actor, which everyone completely forgets. He's a famous DJ.
He
was P. Diddy's
really?
DJ for a long
no
period
shit.
Of time
wow.
from Britain.
Well, he had his own like cop series on the BBC.
Luther. Luther.
Yep.
Luther's good. Yeah. Have you seen Luther?
He was awesome in Pacific Rim.
Has anyone seen The Wire? Like with him being...
No.
That is the show.
I always get him confused with the guy who played Omar.
No,
in The Wire,
that's another.
Who popped up on Community?
Do you see my excitement? You see my excitement? That comes from The Wire. Him playing Stringer Bell on The Wire, like it was season 3. Oh my God, I'm hyperventilating. It is the best. But
who
anyway,
would Idris Elba have played on the Adam West Batman?
He would play
everyone. He
Batman. He
could
play
Batgirl
at the right time.
Yeah.
Depending on how many drinks I have on me, Batgirl.
I want Idris Elba to be Chief O'Hara.
Chief O'Hara.
but Commissioner Gordon is still the same guy he is.
He's Chief.
Where he's like, dire news. And Idris Elba's like, I will go shoot the Penguin.
He's always confused.
You want me to take care of this?
Pick up that phone and call Batman. No.
No, but
I'm going to go do my job. How about that?
I don't see it as bad. I really don't see it as bad. Like it is Batman coming to save Superman because unfortunately, and I see if you, all right, so people beat up on Man of Steel. Like, yeah, he destroyed the whole world, But it's like, it pisses off a character like Bruce Wayne, but like, dude, you're sloppy. You're stupid. I would have done this without killing anybody.
Yeah.
I could see it pissing off a Lex Luthor. Like, you destroyed everything.
With my name on it.
Yeah, you don't deserve those powers, and I need those. Like, yeah. I could see those complexes
It's good motivation for those characters.
I'm more worried not so much about Batman being in a Superman movie. Mm. I'm worried about Zack Snyder directing Batman. Because, you know what? I'm not saying he's a terrible director, but he's let me down every single time.
You know who he's rumored to want for Batman?
Every movie I have seen, I have been excited
about. Say some names, baby. And then he has let me down.
They say they want...
A bunch of like pretty boy soap opera guys that are like brooding and unshaven.
They want the guy who played Night Owl in Watchmen to play Batman.
I hate that guy.
I know.
Patrick Wilson? Hate that guy.
That's who they want to be Batman. Hate that guy. That's who Snyder wants.
He's douchey.
They've worked together before.
I like Patrick Wilson.
I hate him in that. I hate him in the A-Team.
I don't mind him.
There's also the rumor, and this is another thing I heard, is that they want to do...
You movie guys, you crazy.
Batman Beyond in the Superman Batman
movie. Not going to happen.
That's the Batman we're going to get.
That's not going to happen.
The rumor. I would accept Patrick Wilson's Batman Beyond if you give me Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne.
That's not going to happen.
I'll take that.
That is way too much of Batman taking on someone that it really isn't proven. Like, Batman Beyond needs his own movie. I think it's a great storyline, you know, Terry and all that stuff.
There was a lot of talk after Batman and Robin about making Batman Beyond a movie. Like, when the cartoon was still on, they didn't know what to do. They were going to do Batman Superman the first time with Wolfgang Peterson. Yep. Paul Dini and Bruce Timm had meetings about Batman Beyond.
Yeah, take that chance. You know what I mean? But it's not going
to
happen.
At that point, they were talking about Paul Newman as Bruce Wayne.
Especially with the Dark Knight quote they opened up with to present Batman and Robin. Like when Home Dude came up and he gave the Frank Miller quote about, I want you to know. Like that's a...
Well, he met with Frank Miller this week.
Yeah. Zack Snyder. That's a Batman, I'm going to bust you up. Like Bruce Willis, old Batman. Like I'm going to bust you up kind of Batman. You know what I mean? So
well, they'll obviously fight.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They're not going to do that movie.
But it's
not
cool. Don't go for a Justice League movie yet. You haven't developed it. Man of Steel didn't show that.
Right. And because Green Lantern bombed, they're not going to do Aquaman and Flash and maybe Wonder Woman. I mean.
Yeah. And because you're
interested. And if they're really smart, because they said they're going to do. Flash is confirmed for Arrow for that show.
Yeah.
Right. He's going to get 3 episodes and it's supposed to be like a backdoor pilot for his own show.
Good stuff.
Then use those exact guys to play him in the movie. Use the TV but you Flash. Know what? Arrow.
And that was one of my problems.
And that's new.
That was one of my problems with Man of Steel because I really thought Tom Welling deserved to be Clark in Man of Steel. The guy's put in 10 years since he was a teenager. He's the right age now. Yeah. I did not like Smallville. You know, I watched pretty much all of it waiting for it to get good, and in my opinion, it never did.
Never got good.
But he really nailed Clark and Superman by the end. Yeah. He understood it, and I was like, let the kid graduate. Give him the movie.
They
passed him up for it, so I don't see them, like, no matter who they do is the Flash.
My second favorite thing to talk about, but did you see Henry Cavill's body? Like, that man was Superman inside and out.
I haven't seen Man of Steel yet.
That man was, oh my God, I was drinking his bathwater. Like, that man was
big. I've seen his suit.
The suit,
but I think just to speed things up, you know, it's if they use you're gonna recast the Batman, sure. So in the next Superman Batman movie, you've got Superman Batman, use Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern, and then bring in the Flash and Arrow. That's 5 guys. Introduce Wonder Woman. You've got the Justice League. You don't need Aquaman. Forget Martian Manhunter. He's too weird.
Yeah,
you can get a Justice League movie off the ground with 6 guys.
We got Cyborg. Because he was introduced. They talked about Star Labs.
Cyborg is very heavy these days. And
They're pushing for the equality or racial.
Yeah, you can.
And we're doing.
That's
doing
what I'm saying. Green Lantern be black, and Cyborg be black. Because I don't want to see as a Puerto Rican. I do not want to see the all white team. Like, you know what I mean? Like
that's what we got with Avengers.
I don't want to see this. Like,
that was Bruce Timm's idea for Justice League. The animated series was to make Hawkman, Hawkgirl, who exists in the DC universe, to make Hal Jordan, John Stewart, who exists in the DC universe. Then you have a diversified Justice League.
So more women. And
You're not going against canon and saying Hal Jordan's black and Aquaman's Asian.
Yep.
Which comic fans hate.
Yeah. And put, you know, you got Booster Gold already introduced in Man of Steel 2 because of the Blaze comics that he
Booster
flies
Gold was
by.
On Smallville as well.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of things that are there that are being put in place. Now, like I said, the Aquaman reference that people are talking about online, that's a stretch.
There's weird,
There's like
you
the
know
two
what?
Whales or dolphins come to check on
there's
him.
There's some dumb shit. Yeah. Every time this happens in movies,
what,
people
in
lose their mind. Man of Steel, he gets like blown into the water and he just kind of like hangs out there and then they pull back and there's like whales that swim by, which is fine.
Oh, so they're saying Aquaman
so
called
these idiots
the whales,
are like, oh, Aquaman was there and it's like, no.
It's fan fiction. They
it is.
Play
yeah.
It's you know what it was thing? Like? It was like Iron Man 3. Somebody sent me an article about like, oh, how Iron Man 3 should have ended because there's people still angry about the Mandarin. They said, oh, this is what it should have been. And it was this long diatribe about Iron Man fights Hulk. And I'm like, well, now this is no longer an Iron Man movie.
Right.
You've just written your fan fiction for Avengers 2.
Right.
Which is not an Iron Man. The minute you have
one other
another
guy.
Avenger.
Avengers 1.5.
And yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like, then just make Avengers. You know what? Then.
Well, it's like when that Ed Norton movie came out.
That was the whole point about Iron Man 3. Have nobody else from Avengers in it to prove that you still need to have solo characters.
And he's doing the complexity of it, yeah.
Because every month, Marvel puts out Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, and Avengers.
Yeah.
If those books couldn't exist on their own,
they wouldn't.
Would only put out Avengers.
Right. And that's something, too. It was as far back as the Edward Norton Hulk movie. There was like a part where like Hulk yells at like there's a lightning and stuff and he throws like a rock. And then all these idiots were like, it means it's Thor. And it's like Thor, they weren't talking about Thor. They weren't talking about Avengers. It's crazy. Like, how stupid can you people be? It's lightning. Yeah. That happens every day on the planet. Don't fucking tell me.
People
you know?
Like to read into stuff.
And I hate that shit. You know,
like, we all love the interconnected universe and some people are trying to only have everything be energy connected universe. And you know what? These are the same people that bitch about buying crossovers.
Yeah. And they're crazy. The same people who quit
like,
Marvel.
I don't
want to
buy New Mutants because I'm reading X-Men. I'm quitting Marvel.
Yeah.
They're the same guys that go, there was lightning in Iron Man. That means Thor was there.
It's the same. It's the same complex. It's like people being upset about where this Batman is coming from. It's like, give it time to breathe. Like, we take different various Batmans everywhere we go. We took different Jokers for sure. Like, we like this new Joker that we're all, like, all about, you know? And we even have the miniseries, The Joker, by, what is it? What's his name? Brian Azzarello. That came out that was, like, a darker...
Oh, yeah, the one that was...
version of Heath Ledger,
like an Earth 1
type
of
status. Yeah, Lee Bermejo
drew
it like Heath Ledger.
It was dope. It was dope. We gave it time
to even Grant Morrison did a story in his run about Joker scarring his mouth because they wanted to be more Heath Ledger, and that fell by the wayside pretty quick.
So it goes by. We don't want it all the time. So you know, if they want to bring in John Hamm as Batman, whatever it is, it could all work.
Yeah, that I keep hearing that rumor, and I'm sure that won't happen because I heard John Hamm on a podcast before Man of Steel when they were casting it, and they said, "Oh, I heard a rumor that you're going to be Man of Steel," and he said, "All I can tell you is that I auditioned for Superman Returns, and they told me I was too old then."
Yeah,
they're not gonna. And you know what?
8 years ago.
Yeah, now he's like mid to late 40s. They're not gonna make him Batman. They're gonna want some, not just for the way he looks, but they're gonna want somebody that they can use for 10 years.
Yeah,
you know, they don't want to pick a 45-year-old guy who gets two movies and then starts looking old.
Stops being believable. Like Robert Downey Jr. How many more times am I going to buy him flying around in armor?
Which is why he doesn't want to do another Iron Man.
He's a 50-year-old man, dude. Come on.
Yeah, and I'm sure part of his contract for Avengers 2 and 3 is you sit behind a desk and make jokes, and then when you're in the armor, it's going to be all CG.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even going to lift. I'd be surprised if he even lifts his mask, because that means he's got to wear a suit with tennis balls on it or half an armor in that shot.
He's like, I'm tired of that.
Yeah, he may just like wander around the office like inventing things and being quippy. And he's like, I can do that. But it's like what always happens with Bond. They always pick a guy in his late 30s for Bond because you can't pick a 20-year-old. He doesn't have enough experience to be Bond.
He has to be mature enough. Right. Yeah.
But man, they hit that 50-year-old mark and it's like...
You gotta go.
It's like that last Pierce Brosnan or the last three Roger Moores.
Yeah.
Or the one where they brought Sean Connery back.
And we're obsessed with bodies now too. Like as weird as it sounds, like you look at the figures from, you know, they did like this whole thing where... kids in general, I mean, we were doing toys and the bodies of our toys have changed because we want muscles and masculine. And now it's in our actors where we want our actors to look the part.
Yeah.
Like when this dude said he was doing Superman in 2015, Henry Cavill, I was like, you got to keep that body now for 2 more years? That's nearly impossible.
I remember what shocked me was Tobey Maguire. Remember they had contract problems with Tobey Maguire between Spider-Man 1 and 2?
Uh-huh.
And they almost gave it to Jake Gyllenhaal because they look identical.
Okay.
Yeah,
but I remember when they finalized the contract and they said, Tobey Maguire's coming back for 2. And in his press release, he said, I'm excited to come back and I'm going to get back into shape. And I was like, back into shape? You made that movie last year. And that's when I realized to maintain that shape, you need 2 hours in the gym every day.
It's hard.
3 months of not doing that? You don't have that body
But it's
anymore.
Not even that. Like Wolverine.
And if you have 48.
How old is Wolverine? How old is that man? How old
Hugh
is Jackman? Hugh Jackman?
He's got to be late 40s by now because he'd been around for a while. He's been doing Wolverine for 14 years.
That physique is like movie ready. Like it's taken from different shots, different angles. I guarantee, I didn't even see the movie. I guarantee you they showed him in certain lights only because you can't keep that muscle tone without like some give and take.
And also, Hugh Jackman's a guy, he packs on mass.
And
he's
mass.
He's not like most of these guys are just removing all that body fat and getting cut.
He's adding 50 pounds of muscle.
No, and you know what? And the rest of the time he does musicals on Broadway, so he can't be huge like that and dance.
And then when someone was telling me that he has like veins on his arms and stuff, I was like, those are dehydration pills. Like when you're a bodybuilder, you take those so that you could show everything that's ripped 3 months. I mean, a day beforehand, like 6 hours before you go on set, so you could dehydrate your skin and tighten it up. Like you can't do that at a certain age and maintain. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, Tony Stark can't be like that at a 50-year-old man.
He's not
going to
be jacked all the time.
It's impossible. Which
is, and you know what? Which is what Adam West had to worry about.
Back in the day, didn't have to have a six-pack. You don't have to have a six-pack in the 60s. Yeah. You didn't.
Well, look at you know what? Look at Connery in his Bond films.
Yeah.
He was in great shape.
Barrel-chested, though.
He wasn't cut, yeah.
He was.
He didn't have a six pack in any of those movies, and he's running around with his shirt off and like Dr. No and You Only Live Twice. But you know, he's doing the old 60s, putting you put the belt over the spare tire.
Yeah,
that's what Charlton Heston in Planet of the Apes is, naked except for loincloth that's over the spare tire.
Yep.
Yo, for real.
And then you were in shape then.
And we didn't have the advancements in like bodybuilding. Like, it's weird, in the 80s. I mean, no, when Michael Jordan came into the league in basketball, all science changed. Like, it hit not because of him, but a part of it was because of him. Like, he brought in weightlifting to basketball in a certain way, and it made a guy from Chicago, Tim Grover, look at how we train people, and he redesigned this entirely new way of how to train athletes that changed the way we see bodies. Like, literally.
And at the same time, you had Arnold Schwarzenegger, a professional bodybuilder, getting parts in movies, and then everybody had to look like him.
You had
a guy like Stallone, who was in great shape, who originally got in great shape for Rocky.
Yeah.
But man, like, as he...
The peer pressure.
Stallone spent the 80s and 90s chasing Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
And he just kept packing it on. And then he also... I think Stallone's biggest downfall in his career was he didn't know good sci-fi from bad. So, you know, Schwarzenegger...
Should have stopped at Demolition Man. God damn.
Schwarzenegger made great sci-fi movies. I mean, Terminator, Predator, Total Recall. Like, he knew how to do that genre. Stallone didn't. Stallone made Demolition Man, Judge Dredd. You know, he was like,
I am the law.
He was constantly chasing.
Yeah.
He was trying to.
He's like a year or two behind
the spotlight. Yeah, and also just didn't quite have the sensibility.
So basically,
we got a lot more body conscious.
Got real body conscious
after the 80s.
And once you do that, like, you shorten the life of all your superheroes. Like, Chris Hemsworth didn't look like that beforehand. Like, if anybody knows that.
No, if you watch Cabin in the Woods, he's tall as hell.
Yeah.
He's in good shape, but
But he's also in his 20s, too, or early 30s at the latest.
And you can even see in Avengers, Thor and Captain America are not as big as they are in their own movies.
No.
That shot of Chris Evans, and all I really saw with Chris Evans was as the Human Torch in Fantastic Four. When he comes out of the super serum cocoon, he's massive.
Yeah,
and
there's some cleaning going on there, but yeah.
That's him. Well, that's also him running down the street.
He got too big.
He got too big. And he's not that big in Avengers.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's not running around. They're not going to do this scene without him with his shirt on or whatever in Avengers. There's too many other guys that need to take their shirts off.
That's also why Robert Downey Jr. can do 2 and 3 when he's 52, 53 years old. He's not taking his shirt off anymore.
Yeah.
He's not. But he does have to take off and wear that tank with the little, you know, reactor in the middle.
No, they
all the
took
time.
That out.
Now they took that out. Yeah, let's see it come back in. That's going to be a problem.
They have to figure something out.
It's
going to
be a reason for it to come back in. It's too iconic.
The greatest thing in the world.
This week. Okay, so this week, to cover the 66 show, I think we're each going to pick the perfect episode that has never been made. So my thought was always, I heard a rumor, I don't believe it, but I heard a rumor that they talked to Clint Eastwood about playing Two-Face.
Aww.
I don't think it happened. It would have been when he was on Rawhide. There's two reasons I don't think it happened. I don't even think it's true. Number one, at the time the show was on, he wasn't doing Rawhide. He was in Spain making the Man with No Name trilogy.
Okay.
So I don't think he was even around, and he had already crossed into movies. Yeah. And also, if you look at all the villains, none of them are young. That's kind of one of the things I love about the 66 show, which I should have brought up earlier.
They're all out of shape.
Everybody's middle aged on that show.
Everybody.
Except Burt Ward.
Yeah.
Burt Ward hangs out with no one his age until Yvonne Craig comes around.
Yeah.
So I think had they picked somebody, it would have probably been somebody in his 50s. And I would have loved, just going the way they cast, I would have loved to see Sid Caesar as Two-Face.
Oh my
Who's
God.
Who's Sid Caesar?
Sid Caesar was the host of your show of shows. Nope. He was in one of the vacations. He's in It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World. I actually met him when I worked for the Museum of Television Radio. We gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Okay.
And he had this amazing ability to like shift into fake accents and create different words. And he would have been a great guy to do a split personality. He could have jumped back and forth, back and forth. And whenever I watch a show, I always feel like Two-Face is the hole in that show.
It's the one major villain they didn't do.
Yeah, and I think the reason they didn't do it is if you go back to the Batman comics, he was a Golden Age villain, and he disappears until Neil Adams shows up. Neil Adams brings him back. So as you were saying...
He was lost, yeah.
Yeah, as you were saying,
Two-Face
Dave...
Two-Face wasn't existing.
...that they didn't do any research. They just grabbed whatever issues were on the racks and thumbed through them. Scarecrow is never in the 66 show.
Yeah.
Because he's another guy in the Golden Age, until the Bronze Age.
Wasn't there? There was no stories of them at that time, too.
Not Silver Age stories.
Two-Face didn't come through at that time.
Who's ready?
I don't know, because I think the show I would have wanted to see was... Batgirl in a bathing suit, which apparently that happened.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, that happened.
We'll show it to you and your life will be
that
complete.
That exists.
So that's good to know. I would have liked the scene, because they did the crossover with Green Hornet, which
they
is
did.
Great. Yes. What I would have liked to see, and this probably wasn't possible because I don't know anything about like who owned what studio. It was like, why didn't Star Trek? They were both on at the same time. Like, why didn't... that to me seemed like a no-brainer. Is like, have Batman get like beamed up to the Enterprise and solve like a mystery with Kirk.
Somebody did that. There is a YouTube film. Batman meets Star Trek, and they built the Enterprise, and they did the costumes, just like you're talking about with the original fabrics. I think you just put in Batman versus Star Trek on YouTube.
And it comes out.
Yeah.
That would have been...
I would have paid good money to see Adam West and William Shatner act together.
That's what I want. That's,
in something.
Because they did so many guest stars. All the villains are, you know, featuring blah, blah, blah. Is this villain? How awesome would it have been to just see Shatner and, you know, Adam West on the same screen?
And you know what?
Both hamming it up.
Hammond.
Both, you know, both Frank Gorshin and Yvonne Craig did original Star Trek episodes.
Yeah, see, that's like the ingredients are there. Yeah.
It's terrible.
Dave?
I always wanted to see, and this is to stick with the like the theme of my childhood, was the switch body syndrome. You know what I mean?
That's the final episode of Star Trek.
Where, you know, like Robin was Batman and Batman was Robin in their heads.
Yeah. I thought you were thinking like Joker and Batman switch.
Which no, but have like Adam West acting like Burt Ward.
As Burt Ward with
That's
the suit
great.
On and like, you know, like, and doing that whole thing so that like when they got to there, they could take advantage of each other's statuses as Batman or as Robin.
Yeah.
And Burt Ward could do all the things he wanted to do to people as Batman and Adam West could do all the things he wanted to do.
I just
want to
see
girls.
Them doing each other's inflections.
Oh,
it's like that great episode. Well, everybody's done the body switch. But the final Star Trek episode is a woman switches bodies with Shatner.
Yeah.
And Shatner plays the whole episode kind of gay. it's called Turnabout Intruder. It's totally worth watching just for that.
Yeah.
Just to watch Shatner like try to play a woman.
That's
but
awesome.
It's also one, my favorite episode of Justice League Unlimited
is
when Lex Luthor and Flash switch bodies. And that's because Michael Rosenbaum, who was the Flash, was Lex Luthor on Smallville. So it was an inside joke. But then they had Clancy Brown play the Flash.
That's good.
And on the commentary of it, Bruce Timm actually says that they did each other's lines, then played them for each other so they would imitate each other and do the phrasing just right.
Oh, that's awesome.
That episode is also hilarious. Has the greatest moment ever when...
oh my God, Clancy Brown.
Lex Luthor is the Flash and he goes, well, now I'll find out this guy's identity.
Unmasks him.
Goes into the, yeah, goes into the bathroom, goes in the mirror, pulls his mask off, looks himself for a minute and goes, I don't know who this is. And that's as far as he goes.
Because it's not like you're unmasking Bruce Wayne or somebody who's like he's a celebrity.
Yeah, if or you, Clark Kent who you've met multiple times.
Right, it's like you
it's Wally West.
Yeah, you don't know he's a nobody, you know? Yeah. It's like everyone loses their minds when like Peter Parker takes his mask off or to train full people. It's like how many people have you seen on a train in New York that you'll never see again?
Never see again.
Yeah, you know what? And as cheesy as that moment is in Spider-Man 2, I love Spider-Man 2, but that moment is cheesy when... he pulls off the mask for almost no reason. He's like, oh, something's in my eye. And he pulls off the mask for 10 minutes just so Tobey Maguire can go, hey, look how hard I worked out to play Spider-Man.
Right.
But when he saves them all and they pull him in and he notices his mask is gone, they're like, we don't care. You saved our lives. What are we going to do, rat on you?
Yeah.
You know?
Here's your mask back.
And also the blonde mom in that is the hottest woman I've ever seen.
Blonde mom.
I don't know if I've ever seen
When you watch the subway scene in Spider-Man 2, there's a woman holding, looks like a bag of flour in a blanket.
Yeah.
And she's gorgeous.
The stuff.
And every time they show her, she just looks scared. I'm like, oh, I want to take care of you.
So I'll have to look at that next time.
You have two sexual images to lock into your long-term memory.
I definitely want to see that. Yeah. So the body switch is where it's at. That's where we should do it.
That's awesome. Well, man, this has always been great. You know what? Let's wrap up just quickly with how you feeling about the ongoing series. Going to keep going?
I love it, dude. It hits everything on the tail. Like, I mean, on the nail, it's dope. It's fun. I really like it's bright. Like, you know, and now we're going into Sad Man all over again in the regular universe. So it's nice to see this guy come back in.
Yeah, it's getting dark.
Yeah, it's getting real dark.
Yeah, it's nice because it's the only Batman comic on the shelf I can give to a kid. Because kids always want a Batman comic, and I can't give them.
We were talking about that actually in the shop. We were saying, where are you going to put this? And I was suggesting you should put it by the kids because it's sitting next to Detective and Dark Knight. It's sitting on top where kids are going to see things they're going to be scared of.
Yeah.
And you said it's actually selling so well that you thought if you put it in the kids section,
yeah,
that Batman fans
would
be able to get it.
What I end up doing is probably just splitting it.
And increasing the order.
Exactly, doing half and half, half in the kids section, half.
I think it'll sell for a while. I'm hoping it'll at least run as long as, say, like Tiny Titans did.
Yeah.
You know, or Superman Family Adventures.
Yeah, and they've got that Batman Little Gotham, but I think that's too busy looking for kids. I mean, it's good artwork.
Kind of anime.
But it's too busy, I think. And I think the Batman 66 is cool because it's, like you said, it's colorful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's digital stuff already, so it probably doesn't cost them much other than printing it. They already own all that stuff.
Yep.
But it's nice because it's the Batman show with a budget.
Yeah.
You know?
Fitted budget.
All right. Well, as always, you can follow me at Not In My Book. That is the Caffeinated Comics Twitter handle. Like us on Facebook. Add us on Facebook. Leave a review on iTunes. Be nice. Just tell your friends. Just
any one of those is great.
Tell people.
Get the word out there.
There's thousands and thousands of podcasts out there, but the more people that listen to us, the better we feel. We make no money off this. We just want to feel
we want
that.
It for the feelings.
We want to be appreciated.
I like feelings.
Appreciate us.
Dave, do you remember your Twitter handle? Have you given up?
Omi Gonzalez, HOMMY.
Is it underscore?
Underscore something.
Okay, underscore is important.
Follow John at Not In My Book, and then I'll be there.
Yeah, I'm friends with you. And
I'm always at 19 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange, Illinois.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.